as we again turn to the Word of God, as we again turn to the God's Word, if you could only ask the Lord for one thing, I wonder what it would be. Wonder if there was just one thing that you would ask the Lord for, that I would ask the Lord for, I wonder what it would be. Maybe it would be asking the Lord for better health. Maybe it would be asking him for more money, a different job, or a job. It might be that you would ask him for a longer life. It might be that you would be asking him to restore a relationship. It might be that you would ask him for a larger church, more friends. Might be that you would ask the Lord for more patience. Might be that you want him to give you happiness. Might be that you'd want him to give you contentment. Let's see and read Psalm 27. And this was read the other day and it hasn't left me. Psalm 27. See what the psalmist has to say. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above mine enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have arisen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That's the word of God. And so, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. The one thing. I think of, obviously, as possibly your mind has gone to Mary and Martha and the conversation that Jesus had with them that day. And Mary was so willing. She wanted to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him and just get inspiration, just to get encouragement, just to get his blessing. She was, as it were, gazing upon him and eager to lap up all that Jesus was going to share that day. Martha was very practical, and she was cumbered about with so many things, and she actually complained about her sister Mary and said to the Lord, "Lord, this isn't fair." And the words of Jesus said, "Well, actually, Martha, Mary has chosen that one thing needful." You know, if we seek Jesus, he will look after us. And this beauty of the Lord, I absolutely love this in verse 4. "I want to dwell in your house, Lord, every day, and to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord." This beauty is, as it were, the Lord's... Can you remember, as we gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, as we see Jesus, can you remember what God said to or about Jesus? He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." We look upon Jesus, we see God's radiance, God's pleasure, God's joy. We get his knowledge. This is what the psalmist so wanted. He said, "I want to dwell in the house of the Lord. I want to be in the presence of the Lord." Now, David isn't saying, "Hey, I want to spend 24/7 in Crawley New Life Church. I don't want to move out the building." He's saying, "I just want to dwell where Jesus is." And that might be in here, it might be in your home, it should be in your workplace. I want to be a worshipper of Jesus. Whatever I do, I want Jesus first place. Because if I'm in that situation, if that's my mindset, if I want to be bowing, as it were, at the feet of Jesus, then he will guide, he will lead, he will encourage, he will heal, he will deliver, because where his presence is, there's joy, there's direction, there's healing, there's deliverance. Where his presence is, it makes sense of the storms sometimes. You know, if we were just singing this lovely song, and I'm so thankful how God guided Philip in the choice of songs. Is that all actually about Jesus and his love, his grace, and how we should be seeking him? "By his side, I would stay." Now, are we saying, and friends, we're human, we're flesh blood, we have a tempter, we have the world, we have the flesh to contend with, so we're not always having that "one thing have I desired." But this is God's will for you, God's will for me. You know, and perhaps we ought to sing, "Something I would now withhold," instead of "Nothing I will withhold." Perhaps that's really our attitude sometimes. And we've got to confess that, friends. "Something I..." No. You know, and that lovely hymn, "On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." What a beautiful hand. And "My hope is built on nothing much." Eh? My hope is built on Christ. My hope is built on Christ the Lord. But perhaps sometimes our attitude, we may sing it and think, but "My hope is built on nothing much." Perhaps that would be a bit more honest sometimes. Let's be honest, friends, because God wants to be merciful. God wants to be gracious to us. You know, God, if you are now a believer in Jesus, you know, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, to wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world. You know, God was in Christ reconciling you, and he has given now to you that ministry of reconciliation. Perhaps instead of singing at times, I will tell the wondrous story. We should be singing, I will mumble the wondrous story. Friends, isn't that like it is sometimes? We need to confess this. God wants us to tell the wondrous story of his love, of his grace. You know, friends, Spirit of the living God, fall, fall, fall afresh on me. We're singing that Thursday. But perhaps, because we want actually our will, not his, we might say, Spirit of the living God, fall somewhere near me, not with me. No, friends, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. One thing have I desired, one thing I'm going to seek after is to be in the presence of the Lord. I want to be where Jesus is, where Jesus is. You've heard the phrase, too heavenly minded to be no earthly good. And the more I think about it, and I've said this before, the more I dislike that expression. Could it be that we're too earthly minded as it is? Could it be that if we were more heavenly minded, we would be more focused, we would be seeking and desiring the presence of the Lord above all else? Is this your desire? To behold him, to gaze upon Jesus. It isn't just a simple act of, as it were, noticing him with your eyes, but to look on him with pleasure and delight. Our text says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all of the days of my life. That's not the only time David uses that expression, of course. And friends, that should be our attitude. Now, it's good. I've mentioned about, you know, it's not just when we're in as a fellowship of people, celebrating and worshipping him, but that should be our priority. That should be a priority. If the place is open for public worship, for praise, if we're seeking the Lord, if we're loving the Lord, we should make every effort to be there. I think of some of our dear ones who would love to be here, but they're too ill, too incapacitated. And I'm sure that they sometimes think, wow, they've got their energy, they've got their strength, but they're not there. Do you know what I mean? We should be wanting whenever possible, and there will be circumstances which prevent it, and I don't want to get into legalism, God forbid, but we should put Christ first. And we should want to bless other people by our presence as well, because we want to bless them. We want to encourage them. We want to see Jesus in them. Hallelujah. And, you know, if we're parents, and some of us have been parents and still parents and so on, we should never, friends, and I, again, please hear me, I'm not being legalistic, God forbid, there is freedom in Christ, but we have to set the example. And if when our children are relatively small and they don't see that we're putting the assembling together as a priority, that's what they will learn. It's not important to us, so it need not be important to them. If we're saying you can go to your football match as a 10-year-old or 11-year-old, we say football is more important. We can make all excuses, but we're not setting a good example. We're not setting a good example. One thing have I desired, and I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. That's where Christ is. That's where he will display his power. I love it. Again, you know, there's so many great psalms, isn't there? They're food for our souls. They're such encouragement. Another one, of course, is Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, so if you're in the presence of Jesus, If you're gazing upon him, you're under his shadow. And it's an almighty shadow. It's all-encompassing. Hallelujah. I'm told that the eye of the storm, you hear about, you know when these terrific storms come, that the eye of the storm is actually the best place to be in. Sorry? It's the quietest place, absolutely, yeah. While wind and the rain wreak havoc all around, the pilots who fly these storm tracker planes say that in the eye of the storm, it is the quietest, it's the stillest place to be. And in Psalm 91, which I've just quoted, David speaks, doesn't he, about the terror, the plagues, the thousands that are falling at your right hand, but it will not come near you. But it will not come near you. Why? Because he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. He is my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me. Hallelujah. See, friends, there are two ways to go through a storm. Both begin with P. What am I thinking of? Pardon? Yeah, but I'm not thinking of that. Thank you. Thank you. You can either go through a storm in panic or in peace. And what does the Lord want? One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I might dwell in your prayer, that I may gaze upon you. I want to seek after you, Lord. You remember, of course, the true account of when Jesus was on the boat and there was a storm and the disciples were terrified. Yes, they were panicking. Where was Jesus? He was sleeping at the back, wasn't he? He was in peace. Jesus was in peace. That's because he understood three things. One, to get where God wants to take you, you must go through certain storms. It isn't optional. Okay? It's not optional. Secondly, when you're in the center of God's will, the storm can't take you under. If you're in the center of God's will, the storm won't take you under. And frankly, it is in the storm that you discover this, and not in the calm. And thirdly, when it's over, when that particular storm is over, you know God better. You come out of it knowing God better. And you're more equipped to help others. We need to trust in the Lord. We need to commit to him. We need to lean on him, to hope confidently in him, to dwell in his presence. For the Lord God, is he not? He's an everlasting rock. He is the rock of ages. That's what it means to live in the eye of the storm. I think of Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40 and the last four verses. 28, verse 28 of Isaiah chapter 40. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those who wait on the Lord. Those who are in the presence of the Lord. And most folks, I don't know how they do it, but most folks today, they have a mobile phone in one ear. They've learned to drive in the fast lane as well with their mobile phone. They're listening to music at the same time, and on the telephone they're doing business. All at the same time. Nobody wants to wait, do they? Nobody wants to wait. But when it comes, brothers and sisters, to our spiritual lives, waiting quietly in God's presence brings rewards that nothing else will. Being in God's presence, waiting upon the Lord, brings rewards that nothing else will. Let me list one or two of them for you. One is strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Those who spend time with God get fresh strength. They soar like eagles. They run. They don't get tired. They walk and don't get lagged behind. Wait on the Lord. He will strengthen your heart. Secondly, when we wait upon the Lord, vindication. What do I mean? Perhaps this morning, and perhaps even during this week, you've been upset because someone has misunderstood you. You got uptight about it. Or perhaps you are seeing some of your critics seem to be prospering. You're going through the mill, as it were, and yet those who perhaps oppose you or said nasty things or things about your family or whatever, they seem to be doing fine. They seem to be prospering. Again, what does David say? Do not fret. Actually, evildoers will be cut off. But those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. Wow! Hallelujah! Praise God. Friends, cheer up. The last chapter hasn't yet been written. When it does, we win. We win. We win. Thirdly, as we wait upon the Lord, there's deliverance. There is deliverance. You may be feeling trapped by your circumstances. You may, and it's not a good place to be. But that may be where you are. We need to hear the word of God. I waited for God, and he lifted me up out of that horrible pit. I waited upon the Lord, and he got me out of that ditch. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we need, folk, we must trust God more. He will bring you through. He is the deliverer. Fourthly, they that wait upon the Lord, they will grow. There's growth. And I'm sure, like me, you do want to become more mature in your faith. You want to grow in the knowledge and love of the Lord Jesus. You want to grow in the ministry of the Lord. James says, let patience do its work. Patience does work. And it eliminates worry because God is bigger than your problem. God is bigger than your challenge. It eliminates works because your job, my job, is to simply obey and leave the rest to God. Leave it in God's hands. This is trust. This is faith. This is as a child, you know. Thank you, Lord, as we were singing, that we've been adopted into his family. Thank you, Father. And he knows what's best for his children. See, it also, as we wait and gives us growth, eliminates wanting because your wants my wants become less important than his will. One thing have I desired. So we need to spend more time with God. One thing have I desired, there's verses of the Lord. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in his presence. Just quoted from Isaiah, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Hey folks, God doesn't usually tell us how he's going to answer our prayers, does he? He doesn't tell us when he's going to answer them normally. But he does promise one thing to those that wait on him, strength. I read something what Tony Evans said, and I know it's true because for a time I worked in a rope factory. And he points out that this waiting upon the Lord comes from a Hebrew word used in the making of a rope. Every rope starts as a single thread. Okay, every rope starts as a single thread, and then you add another rope, another thread, and that increases its strength. So you get the idea. Every time you wait upon the Lord, you add another thread to the rope. You get a little stronger, a little more able to cope, waiting in God's presence. But of course, waiting isn't always passive. You go into a shop. How can I help you, kind sir? What can I get you for? That's waiting. That's waiting. So you're waiting on somebody. That's waiting. So it's not always passive. Waiting is not so much a position. It's a focus. It's a focus. What does Isaiah says? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon Jehovah. That's God's promise. Dwelling in the presence of the Lord. Whether it's sitting prayerfully in God's presence or actively carrying out his will, we've got his assurance that his presence will be renewed. Let me just quote one or two other promises. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your hearts. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. We just read that in Psalm 27. That was the last verse. That's God's word. Wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. And then in Psalm 123, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, so our eyes look to the Lord our God. See, you wanting more strength? Am I wanting more strength? Wait on the Lord. To wait on the Lord is to demonstrate, isn't it, a confident expectation. Wait. It can be translated hope. They that hope in the Lord, they shall be strengthened. To hope and to wait for the Lord as we're in his presence is for his timing and his actions. We think of Moses, good old Moses. One thing have I desired, to dwell in the presence of the Lord, to seek him. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to be in his presence. I want to gaze upon his beauty. I want to look upon the beauty of Jesus. There's some people you can be around and they just drain you. They really do drain you. The glass is always half empty. Unfortunately, and this should never be so, there are some believers or so-called followers of Jesus. It's not good to be around. Now, friends, there's all, every single one of us will go through these times when everything is a cloud and we're in the storms and then we do need somebody to come alongside us. We may not be very uplifting, and that's why we do need our brothers, our sisters, others to put an arm round our shoulder, to speak words to us, which God will then be able to use for his glory. I'm talking about the consistent and persistent person who's always negative and cannot believe on God's promises. There are certain people who actually can drain strength from you just by being around them. But there are certain people who we can draw strength from. And I want to be around such people like that. I want to be that type of person. But listen, when we need to be lifted up, when we need to be strengthened, first and foremost, we must spend time with God. Spending time in his presence. You know, if you sit in a room that is filled with perfume, you know, a nice smell, if you're in a room and there's a nice smell, it gets in your clothes, it gets in your hair. And when you leave that room, you are taking that smell with you. You know, if you go down the curry house and sit there for 3 or 4 hours, you'll come out of that smelling of curry. And I'll be around you in a quick as a flash. No. But as we sit in the presence of the Lord, we cannot but help the sweetness, the preciousness, the glory, the power of the Lord. And we take that with us. He's part of us. He becomes so much part of us. I was going to say about Moses. Moses, of course, was a man of prayer. He spent a great deal of his time, didn't he, in fellowship and talking with God. He knew that without God's presence, he wasn't worth tuppence. He wasn't worth tuppence without God's presence. Can you imagine that responsibility that Moses had of taking care of some 2 million people? And he had to get them out of one country and into another, all on foot. And blow me down if they weren't complaining about him anyway. He couldn't do anything right, it seemed. It was a mind-boggling task. It's not an ideal situation to keep your peace, is it? Yet God told Moses in Exodus, "My presence shall go with you to give you rest. My presence shall go with you. I will give you rest." Don't you want to dwell with God? See, God's presence can give you peace in any situation, including that difficult workplace, including the upheaval that sometimes happens at home. It can enable you to show love in the face of abuse and patience in the midst of stress, to being positive, to change without a lot of words. It can make you feel good about how you handle things. We need to spend time in God's presence. Finally, as in Isaiah, we've looked at Isaiah, but just finally, I want us, chapter 43. Yet I've been encouraged even this week and by just spending time with some of you at the morning prayer, and when this word really hit me, and it hasn't left me. Again on Thursday evening, when several of us were together for prayer, I was encouraged. Encouraged by God's grace and his faithfulness and what he wants to do for a people who's going to be waiting on the Lord, whose one desire is to be in his presence. In Isaiah chapter 43, there's some lovely words here, but verse 18, may God speak to, there's somebody here who will receive this word. Verse 18, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God says he will do a new thing. Perhaps for you, it means you've got to disregard the circumstances and believe the God who cannot lie. The rubbish can be cleared out. The bruises can be healed. Just make sure that when the smoke clears, you're still standing. I believe God would say to you that you're too important to him to be destroyed by a trial that actually was just his means to give you character and direction. Think, you have survived, and by the grace of God, you're making it. God is not only bringing you through the valley, he's causing you to grow in it and to become stronger. If you want to know what God can do, look at what he's already done for you, friends, and you'll start feeling better about your future. And that's not all. Listen, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. After feeling perhaps like you've been waiting forever, God's going to move suddenly. This is a personal word, but I believe it is also a word for the church. After apparently it feels like you've been waiting forever, it hasn't been, but that's what it feels like. God's suddenly going to move, suddenly, almost unexpectedly. But listen, please, if you're not ready, you'll miss the next open door. You'll miss that next great idea. You'll miss that next relationship he has for you. You have to be sensitive to his voice. You have to be alert to his movements and live in expectation. After praying and waiting in the upper room for 10 long days, we read, suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Hallelujah. And the church was born, a church that would change the world. When God miraculously, we heard about this Thursday evening, when God miraculously brought Paul and Silas out of prison, we read, suddenly there was a great earthquake. And immediately all the doors were opened. God may be getting ready to open doors for you and for this church. Make sure you're ready when he does. One thing have I desired. I want to dwell where you are, Lord, in your presence. Keep me from the enemy's camp that's going to destroy me. I want to be in your presence. Because in your presence there's fullness of joy. I want to dwell in your house forevermore. The more we're enjoying God's presence now will equip us for whatever task ministry God has for you, for me now. But it also will make us wanting and longing more and more for that time when we will forever be in his presence with no veil between, no sin to irritate, no stupid people around us. It will be Jesus, and we will be reigning with him forever and ever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Amen.